all, darling. He went on, flicked her clit with his fingers, making her moan, her body jolt again. And he finished, but I'll best it, Six. You'll submit to me, too, as Simone does. I guarantee that. Stellan, come, he said, removing his hands, curling up, taking her with him as he exited the bed, putting her on her feet. He wrapped his fingers around hers. Time for your reward. He tugged at her hand, and she walked with him out of his bedroom into the hall, down the hall, the stairs, and along the back passage toward the laundry room, only to stop at the door to the basement. It was then her heart started pounding as he led her down the stairs. He'd said their play would be in their bed, their home. But she had a feeling he wasn't taking her to the home theater or the wine cellar, though both would be interesting. No, he was taking her to the playroom, his fully kitted playroom. Benches, vaults, tables, suspension apparatus, crosses. He also had equipment, chains, flogs, whips, paddles, crops, switches, candles, ropes, cuffs, shackles. Further, he had cabinets filled with toys. Vibrators, clamps, phalluses, plugs, gags, masks, corsets. Six had not once seen him go hardcore on any of his subs, but that didn't mean she hadn't seen him get creative with a cross, a set of clamps, toys, restraints, anything with a handle, and more. She had not, however, seen him do any of that with a slave new to his playroom. He could be a tyrant, but he was a break-em-in-easy kind of guy. It was the surprise they received when he took it deeper that got him off. She was licking her lips and hovering somewhere between pulling her hand from his and running away, and tightening her fingers around his and dragging him to the playroom herself, when they made it to the door. He opened it, drew her inside, and she, honest to God, nearly melted to his feet. This was because there were three gladiators in there. Ami, as well as the one who had won in the pit and then gone to his partner and force-fed him his cock, and that partner who'd been forced to suck cock. The two partners were wearing locked leather shorts that had a zipped-up-the-sides panel at the front, covering their packages, that could be opened to free their cocks, this locked to the belt at the waistband. The shorts also had a zip between the legs that was locked closed at the back waistband, that could be opened for access to other parts. Currently, they were all closed in tight. But it was Ami she couldn't take her eyes from as Stellan led her into the room. He was fully naked, and with a complicated strapping of black rope around his waist and over his shoulders, he was somewhat suspended from the ceiling with his wrists tied behind his neck, the ropes going down his back, along his waist, and fed through the eye of the anal hook that was inserted up his ass. His feet were on the floor, but barely. His back was to the room so they had the full view. And she didn't take her eyes off that superlative view even as she felt Stellan arrange her in his lap, as he sat them both. I take it you're enjoying your reward, he murmured amusedly. Slowly, she turned her eyes from the spectacle before her and looked to Stellan. They were cocooned in the wide seat in what could only be described as a modern throne. It was upholstered in blue velvet, almost the exact color of his eyes. A broad, curved hood rose gracefully out at the sides and up high over their heads. The king was in attendance, and she was his slave queen, settled in to watch their servants perform on command. Unable to hold it back, she shivered full body in his hold. You're enjoying it, he whispered, his lips forming a sexy, satisfied smile. She raised her hand to the side of his neck, curled her fingers in, and lifted up, so her lips were at his ear. Ami, was all she said quietly, is all in, but ungagged, and has a safe word, he replied in her tone. She pulled away, looked him in the eyes, and nodded. He curled her into a closer hold in his arms, inclined his head toward the room, and when she turned hers at his unspoken command, he ordered, Position him to face us, and one of you, drop to your knees and take his cock. The partners moved. One turned Ami on his hook so he was no longer back to them. The other one fell to his knees, and the minute he had Ami's engorged cock within range, he grabbed onto it with his hand and took it deep in his mouth. Ami let out a low groan. Lord, a man blowing a man was almost as fabulous as a man fucking a man. But a man blowing a restrained warrior that was suspended on an anal hook was sublime. Six squirmed in Stellan's lap, eyes riveted to the bobbing head of the man on his knees. Not enough, darling? Stellan asked. This wasn't a reward. It was more torture. She lifted her gaze to Ami's face. His eyes were locked to her, his face flushed, the muscles in his neck straining, his gaze a scorch of heat. Totally in the zone. Performing for her. His mistress had entered the room as a slave, and he still gave it up for her. She felt her face soften. Then she heard Stellan bark, Take his face. Ami immediately started thrusting so hard the guy on his knees had to lift his hands to Ami's hips to hold on and not fall back. Release the panel and the zip. Rosebud. Stellan ordered. The free man moved immediately. Crouching beside his partner, he unlocked the locks, unzipped the back down through his legs as well as the panels at the front. Six couldn't see the latter, but she did hear his thankful grunt, so she suspected his cock was hard and releasing it from its confines was a relief. The free sub then moved to one of Stellan's cabinets, opened it, selected a rosebud plug, lubed it, and moved back to the players. Situating himself to the side so he didn't obstruct the view, Six watched and listened as another deeper grunt, muffled by thrusting cock, sounded in the room as he plugged his partner's ass. A wave of wet hit between her legs.
My queen can't see,
Stellan called. The man on his knees tipped his ass, so she had a better view. Okay, plugged ass getting fucked in his face by a restrained warrior. Now that was sublime. So enthralled, she had no idea she let out a purring mew. And then it happened. What she should have known would happen simply because Stellan was Stellan. But she definitely should have known it would happen after he mentioned her giving herself to Arius. And now, here was Ami performing how he was performing. Stellan had a number of messages to send, and he was sending them. Thus, they were up, Six in Stellan's arms. Then he turned around, sitting her back in the chair, but suspended over it, her legs splayed wide to the sides, his eyes locked on her, his mouth issuing commands.
Unhook him. Fuck his ass. Come inside. Ami, shoot your cum down his throat. My queen can listen.
But he actually had no intention of her listening. Because Stellan drew his waistband back down over his big, thick, hard cock. Curving it under his balls, he moved into her,
whispered, "At your pleasure," and slammed inside her. Taking him brutally, ready for it, gagging for it, so loving every inch that invaded her, Six's heels dug into the sides of the chair. Her back arching, her pussy rocked into his hips, she came immediately, staggeringly, all her molecules scattering, her head pressed back into blue velvet, as her body lurched violently in the chair from her orgasm and from taking her master's cock. For leverage, Stellan had his hands planted in the arms of the chair close to the back, the drives of his body keeping hers from exploding off her perch. But the world had fallen out from underneath her. She had to find purchase, and she did that on him, throwing her arms around his shoulders, digging her nails into his flesh, crying out again and again and again, rolling her hips out to meet his thrusts, also again and again and again. Her first staggering orgasm shifting into another one, this one dazzling. Stellan. His name came as a plea, a brand, a claim, a demand, an appeal, a wish, the realization of a dream. This was her dream, spread for him, offered to him, serving him. Taking her fucking from him, nothing but his. He owned her. But he could only do that because she owned him. Fuck, Stellan groaned. She shifted her hand so she could curl her nails into the back of his neck, and her eyes focused on his. Fuck me. Keep fucking me, she commanded breathily. Still climaxing, lost to it, destroyed by it. Ruined. He pounded into her, their eyes locked, a snarl curling up his throat and lacerating the air. Yes. He kissed her. His tongue was a lifeline. The noises he drove down her throat, sustenance. She clutched him with her pussy, her fingers raking up, gripping his hair. She took her branding, her claiming, the demands of her master, but there was no plea, no appeal. He was staking his claim of her. For the gladiators, for Ami, for Stellan, for Six. He ended the kiss, but left his mouth at hers, their breaths clashing. She vaguely heard the strident chorus of manly grunts in the room. Pierced by her feminine gasps and cries. Nothing existed for her but taking her fucking from her master, her marking, her claiming, and giving him everything. She succeeded, and climaxed again, when she watched Stellan's head jerk back, the veins in his neck pop out, and felt his thrusts turn savage as he came inside her, and she found a new struggle. Orgasming at the same time, forcing herself to watch him do the same. Six joined him as he shuddered through aftershocks, her body absorbing his and his hers, and she shifted her hands to his hair, stroking it as he dropped his forehead to hers, and their panting breaths mingled. A deep, guttural, masculine cry rent the air as someone else in the room came. But as lush as that sound was, her entire focus was on the eyes in front of her. It was only then she realized that he'd given it all to her. But even doing it in a room with three other people, he'd given them nothing. She was entirely hidden, and he hadn't even pulled his pants over his ass. He'd fucked her and, except for the one on his knees, they'd probably watched him fuck her, but really, they'd seen nothing. He'd given it to her. He'd claimed her before them. He'd taken her for himself, and the only ones who got anything from what they shared was them. Man, He was a genius. Just the thought of it made her tremble again. Nice reward, she muttered breathlessly.
Cheek,
he returned gruffly. Stellan, she called like he wasn't right there, his cock still embedded inside her, his eyes staring into hers from less than an inch away.
Right here, darling,
he responded gallantly, even if he knew he didn't have to.
I might not be able to say it, but you know it, what you are to me.
Those eyes, so close, flashed with triumph that was so resplendent, it made her heels dig into the sides of the chair, her pussy clamp on him so tight he gave a slight grunt, and her fingers fist in his hair.
I still want it from your lips, Simone, he said.
She gave him a small smile, and he drew back so he could drop his eyes to it and watch.
Whatever he saw, he liked, because he flexed his hips into hers.
She bit her lip. He gave her his wicked grin. Another deep, masculine groan filled the air. God, he was awesome.
Can I watch now?
She requested.
Anything, darling.
He murmured. Yes, anything.
And yes, she'd take anything, because it meant giving Stellan as much of everything as she could give.
For their month. Just their month. They had 3 more weeks. And then, more than ever before, not for her, for Stellan, she had to be history.
The instant Stellan slid a hand around her hip and in, flicking at her clit and growling,
"Now, Simone," she came.
Hard. Stars exploding behind her eyes, body locking, pussy rippling, clit convulsing, lips parted and pants escaping. Hard. She kept at it as, on her knees, she took his deep, vicious thrusts that, with her arms restrained in satin sleeves laced tight together from upper biceps to wrists behind her back, fingers curled in, nails biting into her palms at the small, she had no choice but to accept, to allow to drive her cheek deeper into the bed. She shuddered again, not with aftershocks. Another climax. His finger still at her clit, his other hand holding her ankle almost tenderly where it rested against his calf through her second orgasm. He kept at her, and forced a sharp gasp from her throat, followed by an incomprehensible please. If she was of a mind to think clearly, she wouldn't know what she was begging for, because Stellan was giving her everything she needed. She would know what she wanted when he reached deep with both hands, gripping her at the insides of her thighs right below the juncture to her sex, sending waves of pain and pleasure shooting up her cunt. She quivered in front of him in multiple mini-climaxes as he let out a grunt that turned into a groan when he exploded inside her. Stellan kept her filled and stroked the insides of her thighs as the aftershocks scoured through her. Six struggled to catch her breath, and then his hands moved over her hips, her bottom, the backs of her thighs, down her calves, to curl around each ankle and hold her there while he caressed her pussy with his cock, slow and sweet. She stayed positioned for him in their bed, trying to will her mind and body back into her command. The gladiators had been released. She'd been fed a light lunch at the feet of her master, and now they were back in Stellan's room. Stellan had removed her teddy, then Six had found that her reward was long-lasting, and included a myriad of creatively culminated, mind-boggling orgasms. Eventually, Stellan pulled out, released her ankles, and fell to his back beside her, not hesitating a second to draw her over him, still restrained.
But he positioned her like he normally did after they'd had sex, her thighs cradling one of his cum seeping out of her forehead in his throat. Soft, loving postcoital touch traced down her bound arms, slid under her immobile wrists, and back out for his fingers to lace into hers, which could do nothing but allow them and curl into his.
"What am I going to do with you?" he murmured. The question was a surprise for a variety of reasons, considering he demonstrated plainly he knew a lot of things to do with her.
But Six had a feeling he wasn't talking about play.
"You're here, right here, all mine, at the same time miles away from me," he said, and she blinked at his neck. "How do you manage that?"
She was bound for him. Her pussy still throbbed from taking him. His cum was gliding out of her. But this was not a master and his slave conversation.
"Stellan," she began as a warning.
Suddenly his other hand laced between the fingers of her free one. Using her straightened trussed arms as leverage, he pulled her up as he crunched up, forcing her to go with him. In a way, she was straddling his hair-roughened thigh, her soft, sensitive, wet flesh against his hard, dry, bristly heat. When she was face to face with him, his fingers around hers curled in cruelly. And she had the impatient, frustrated tyrant.
"I could keep you suspended astride my cross and beat you for hours, and that wouldn't break you. I could keep you hovering close to climax without release for weeks, and that wouldn't break you. So how, Simone? How do I force it out of you?"
he asked.
"It's just a word, baby," she whispered pacifyingly. "I'm not talking about the word, Simone."
She shut her mouth.
"I could give you everything, in my case literally, and it still would be nothing," he stated, and her insides frosted over that he'd think such a thing.
"That isn't true," she whispered.
"You're pulling away, even when I'm inside you," he stated flatly.
She looked away, terrified, but at the same time moved he'd sensed that from her, read it in her, knew her so deeply.
"Don't look away from me, and that is not a command as your master. That's your man demanding that of you, especially when we're talking about this," he said.
And he furthered the words by letting his fingers go and starting to unlace the restraints. Slowly, she forced her gaze to his.
"We're having a good day," she said softly.
"Let's just have this beautiful day."
"And then what?"
he asked, as she felt the laces loosening.
"And then tomorrow we'll have a different beautiful day."
"And then?" he asked. The laces loosened. He slipped the sleeves off and tossed them on the floor beside the bed. She had a feeling M wasn't going to be picking those up, and that was because Six would, and she'd put them away.
"Simone,"
he clipped. She focused on him.
"We have 3 more weeks.
It was then her world collapsed. Like in the movies, when the massive earthquake hits, the mighty crack opening in the earth, swallowing everything inside as it crumbles and disappears, letting out a mighty poof of dust that annihilates everything. This was because his face assumed an expression like she'd struck him.
Stunned. Hurt. Wounded.
Arms released, she lifted both hands to his face.
"Maybe it's just time spent," he declared.
"Or rather time served for you."
"No, it's not," she rushed to say. "It's brilliant, beautiful, perfect. You're making me happy."
"And you're still going to leave me,"
he stated.
"Fulfill your promise and then leave."
God, how did they get here?
I need you to understand, she said. I'll never understand, he returned. After this week, Simone, honestly, you can ask that of me? Her hands gripped him harder.
You don't get it.
His hands came up and gripped her just the same, positioning her so they were nose to nose, and his eyes were drilling into hers.
Then explain it to me, he bit out.
She automatically retreated, trying to physically, which he disallowed, so she did it verbally.
You push too hard, she snapped.
Learn this about me, darling, he drawled ominously. When there's something I want, and I have it in my sights, I will do anything, absolutely fucking anything, to secure it. You think this is pushing hard? You know nothing about me.
You're not making this better, she warned.
Why won't you allow yourself to be happy? He asked, irate.
That question, one Arius had posed to her using different words, what was now years ago, made her move so violently she tore out of his arms and was across the bed before he could snatch her back. Naked, on three limbs, the last held up, palm out toward him, when he made to lunge at her, she hissed, "Don't get near me." His face turned gentle, as it always did when he took it too far, and she snapped. Then fear spiraled up her spine when that wiped clean, and his expression set to determined. Switching tactics. Doing absolutely anything.
Get over here,
he ordered.
No,
she denied.
Get over here, Six,
he bit. He called her Six.
He knew precisely who he was dealing with.
God, he knew her down to her soul. And that terrified her most of all.
No,
she yelled and moved to throw herself off the bed. He caught her around the waist and dragged her back. And this was good. This was great. With this, she could show him precisely who he was dealing with. He said if she took him to his ass, it would sting his pride. But the man Stellan was, she knew if she did that, it wouldn't just sting his pride. It would alter who they were to each other forever. And when she went at him with no holds barred, it tore her apart. At the same time, it gave her hope that she'd finally found the means to save him. She discovered the faults in this hastily formed plan immediately. The facts were that Stellan might be well-bred, well-dressed, and wealthy. But a predator was a predator, no matter how polished he appeared to the world. And when an urbane predator was pushed to claim something that was his, he was an animal. In the ensuing battle, she had a few openings, and he bested her at each one. He was strong, he was sly, and he was a fucking cheat. He, her Stellan, the man she was in love with, the man who looked at her adoringly when she held his balls in her mouth, or any time, knew he was bigger than her, stronger than her. And as she'd expected him to do, something he did not do, he gave her no quarter. It could be a me he was grappling with. So when he had her face down on the bed, her arm torqued up her back so tight the pain in her shoulder was acute and almost blinding, but definitely immobilizing, and he commanded, "Spread your goddamn legs," she did it. He kept his hold on her even as she sensed him reaching, heard a nightstand open, knew he was doing something just out of sight, so she didn't know what it was until she had a scant second to feel it and tense the muscles she needed to tense to refuse it. But the latter had no effect. He rammed the plug up her ass, which set her groaning and sliding slightly up to her knees. Then he spanked her. And if she thought the sharp blows he'd given her the day of the pool party had a good sting, this was a damned thrashing. Stellan,
she breathed. Master, he bit.
Baby,
she tried. His hand hitting her flesh was his only reply. He gave it to her and he gave her more, holding her wrist twisted up her back, until she felt the pain in her shoulder rocket down her ass, gathering with the pain he was inflicting there, and scattering between her legs, down the backs of her thighs, and without any warning, and thus with no control whatsoever, she started coming.
That's it, darling,
he growled. She knew, taking her flesh from pink to red and wilted.
God, she whispered hoarsely.
No, sweetheart, he returned, the spanking ended, the torture beginning. He held her down and dove his hand between her legs.
Master, he finished.
She quivered, she shook, she shuddered, she came again and again and again, from the deft, talented, relentless clit stimulation and deep, hard, penetrating finger fucking, until her body was not her own, at all, even a little of it, all the way to her marrow. It was his. Only his.
I can't. No more, she begged feebly.
But her muscles clenched, and another orgasm burned through her. He took hold of the plug and started fucking her ass, and she shoved her face in the bed and moaned.
Sorry,
he called.
Please.
The word was muffled in the bed. He filled her, and his hand went back between her legs. Abruptly, of its own volition, she shuddered in surrender. Her body going lax, her legs spreading wider, she turned her face again so her cheek was to the sheets and whispered,
Please, I can't take more. Master.
In a blink, the plug was out. She was up in his arms, her body wrapped around his arm tight at her waist, his other hand cupped to the back of her head, and he was kissing her deeply. Shifting his hips, he slid inside and using his arm around her waist to lift and lower her, he was fucking her gently. He pulled her mouth from his, shoved her face in his neck and moved her on his cock. Each time he filled her, she sighed against his skin, too spent to do anything but hold on and grip him as hard as she could with her pussy.
You won't be able to leave me,
he declared thickly. She closed her eyes and centered on the pull and release, the push and seal. 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 Sealed. His orgasm was lazy and so beautifully orchestrated. Having six in the state he put her in, she could do nothing but hear it, feel it, absorb it in every way that could come to being, accepting it as the precious gift he had every intention of giving. When he was finished, he impaled her on his cock and held her in his arms.
I thought I knew what I was doing, he murmured, but you're full of surprises. And in matters of meaning, in other words, battles worth winning, I adore surprises, sweetheart.
Great. You need a firmer hand, he decided. She didn't think she could have it in her, but apparently she did because she shivered. He chuckled. She loved the sound.
God.
I think every weekend we play, I'll command a day where I get some moan and a day where I get to break six, he said. And he could also find a way to get off on the messed up insanity of her split personalities.
Fabulous.
Yes? He asked. I think you're more nuts than me, she muttered against his skin. I said something once that, at the time, I didn't even realize how true was its meaning, he shared. Six had a feeling she didn't want to know. She also had a feeling he knew she didn't. But Stellan didn't give a damn.
Sweet pussy is worth any hassle. But to earn the attention of a queen?
He curled his hand around her jaw and used it to force her to look at him. The touch was dominant, but gentle, and achingly sweet. And when he caught her eyes, he concluded, speaking every word in a way each was laced with steel.
I will do anything.
You have my attention, she whispered.
I have your utter devotion,
he retorted, and she felt her body freeze.
But your devotion is twisted, Simone. In the way Six protects you,
she's trying to protect me. Shut me out, force me down. I can break your body. I can earn a master from your lips. But that is what I'm going to break to make you mine. And you can fight it, my sweet darling. Fuck, I want you to. It'll make the process all the more interesting. But in the end, you'll bow to your king, and then take your place at his side. Trust me. I could disappear tomorrow, she told him the truth,
and I would find you.
He told her his. His was probably more true. She dropped her head so her forehead rested against his and lifted a hand to stroke his cheek.
I wish I could give you what you want, she said quietly.
You already do, he replied.
I just have to prove that to you.
He pushed her face away slightly and said, You're finished serving, darling. I'll make us some dinner and we'll have a quiet night in front of the fire. When he let her jaw go, beginning to move like he was going to pull them from the bed, she caught his jaw tight and he stilled.
It was him. It wasn't her, she whispered huskily. It was always him.
Stellan said absolutely nothing. He just stayed perfectly still and stared into her eyes, his having gone so hyper-alert they felt like a laser burning through her.
There wasn't much, but he...
She trailed off. He stayed silent.
He loved me, she pushed out.
When it was Six who went silent, he urged gently,
More, honey, the bullets.
He took those bullets for me.
Okay, he whispered.
It was nearly guttural when she shared the awful truth.
It's not safe to love me.
Understanding flared in his eyes so bright, it was like a beacon that lit up the room. And a growl so low, so predatory, it scraped against her skin as it rumbled from his chest. And he spoke, like he'd spoken earlier, but there was a fiery flint to the steel of the words he gave her.
By God, Simone, I will prove that is not true.
You need to stay safe for me, she said urgently.
I will.
Always, she begged. His arms around her went from strong and firm to gentle and sweet.
Always, honey.
Even if it's me that has to make you safe. He hesitated on that and she about opened her mouth, but he spoke first.
We shall see.
13. Happily Ever After. Stellan. The next morning, leaving Simone standing at the bathroom mirror in her underwear, making her hair adorably fuckable, with his suit jacket in his hand, Stellan walked down the stairs. With Simone as she was in their bathroom, he did not want to leave her. With what he knew was downstairs, he had to leave. He found what he expected to find after he'd sent the text he'd sent last night, hiding in the bathroom to do it. He was not annoyed he was reduced to hiding in his own bathroom to do what he had to do. Any tactic, any ploy, anything, he would do without embarrassment, without remorse. Em was in his kitchen. Em was usually in his kitchen at this time of day to make him breakfast, but also to keep him company, considering she worried about him living in this big house by himself.
He'd asked her to give Six and him a couple of weeks to get used to each other before they resumed regularly scheduled activities. After what Stellan had discovered last night, he wasn't moving cautiously forward with his Simone. She thought he was pushing too hard? She'd learn what that meant.
"Mijo," Em cried in that welcoming way of hers, like it hadn't been mere days since they'd seen each other last, but years. She was turning from whatever she was doing in the kitchen to him, giving him one of her big, bright smiles.
"Good morning."
"Good morning, Em," he murmured, throwing his jacket over the back of one of the stools at the island. She frowned at his jacket. She gathered his clothing from the floor, laundered it, and put it away, or took it, then picked it up, from the dry cleaners. She was always riding his ass to take better care of his things, and thus would have preferred him draping his jacket around the chair, not tossing it over the back. Her gaze went from his jacket to his twitching lips to his eyes.
"How is Simone?" she asked.
And there it was. He'd discovered on Friday that Simone had invited Em to call her by her real name. It had been a surprise at the time, a good one, but nonetheless a surprise. Stellan wasn't certain anyone but Arius and Dillinger knew her true name, and neither man used it. At the time, whatever accord they'd reached that led them to drinking tequila, he was delighted with, and thought it was progress. And he felt more progress had been made over the weekend. But it was time to stop going slowly. It was time to end Simone's self-enforced loneliness and show her that being loved and being around the ones who did it was the safest place she could be. Not the other way around. Stellan didn't answer Em's question. He moved right to her, in her space toe-to-toe, and watched her eyebrows arch up as he tipped his head down. Since it was time to speed things up, there was no time to waste.
"I'm losing her,"
he whispered. Shock and upset hit her gaze.
"What?"
she whispered back.
"Her parents were drug dealers."
Em's eyes became huge. Stellan continued.
"When she was 12, they were killed when they were meeting their supplier, and a rival supplier made a play to claim new territory. She was there when it happened."
I.
She shook her head disconcertedly.
"I can't even comprehend this,"
she said softly, her voice filled with horror.
"Her father stepped in front of her to protect her."
Now her voice was pitched high.
"Why was she even there?"
Stellan shook his head as well, doing it with two meanings. One, that he didn't know why such a thing occurred, and the other, that it didn't matter.
"As shocking as this is, sweetheart, that's a moot point now. She was. And it's clear she did not have a close relationship with her mother. But there was something between her and her father. What made matters worse in a situation that didn't seem like it could get worse, when they died, she did not go to a relative who would show her love and care and give her what she needed to deal with what she'd witnessed. She went to her uncle, who is, arguably, worse than those two."
"How could he be worse?"
she asked incredulously.
"That doesn't matter,"
Stellan answered gently.
"What matters is that he clearly did not counsel her or get her the help she'd need to understand what happened in that room when she lost her parents. She's twisted it, not surprisingly. She thinks it's not safe to love her."
"That's ridiculous,"
she snapped, not upset with Simone, upset about the story Stellan was sharing.
"It is to you, to me, to anyone," Stellan agreed. "To her, perhaps the only person in her life who showed her affection, kindness, and his version of love, was shot dead stepping in front of her. At 12, it was all she knew. She was too young to understand what they did to make a living was wrong, that taking a 12-year-old to a meeting with a supplier was wrong. All she knows is the only person who loved her died saving her.
It is.
Tears filling her eyes, Em looked away and didn't finish. Stalin put a crooked forefinger under her chin and brought her back. She's in love with me, Em, and utterly terrified that will in some way harm me.
You need to get her into counseling, she advised shakily.
I need to be certain she doesn't disappear off the face of the earth first. She cleared her throat. How do we keep her with us?
Us.
Stalin almost smiled. Instead, he answered, we do not let go. He kept his finger under her chin, moving his thumb to hold her there when that chin started trembling. Suddenly, fire flashed in her eyes. One emotion fled, and another took its place, and his thumb was unnecessary. She nodded her head resolutely once.
We will not let go.
He grinned at her, removed his hand, and said,
thank you, Em.
Her head tipped to the side, and her gaze grew shrewd.
You're very much in love with her. In the story of her life, I'm her happily ever after,
Stellan replied simply. Brightness immediately hit her eyes again as they got wet, in a way she could not fight.
Shh,
he shushed, rounding her with his arms and pulling her against his body.
We've a fight on our hands, but that part is the good part, not something to cry about.
Her voice hitched through him.
I know, and it makes me very happy because the world never seemed right to me. The handsome prince, going so long without meeting his fair maiden.
It never occurred to Stellan that the story went both ways. But it fucking did. He'd lived a long time, just living, not searching for a woman to share his life with, more than likely, he realized in that moment, because he held fear that in the end, he would be like his father, and he'd lay a path of devastation in his wake. But he'd never do that to Simone. Never. Apparently, the handsome prince had some healing to do as well, and Simone was his healer. For her part, Simone would probably laugh herself sick at being thought of as a fair maiden. She was the scarred heroine who sacrificed everything to keep the people she loved safe. But her story was about to change, and so was his. Stellan gave Em a squeeze and another smile, and it was Em who pulled out of his arms. And then Em did what Em did when it came to Stellan or anyone she held close to her heart. She bossed him. Going right to a little dish filled with a number of pills in a variety of colors and shapes, she tapped it on the counter once before she nudged a tall, slim glass of cranberry juice toward it and him.
Vitamins, mijo,
she murmured, and moved away. Stellan went to his vitamins and began to take them with the juice. As Em got busy doing something, she asked,
is Simone coming down for breakfast?
She was doing her hair when I left her, but yes. Though I'll warn you, Em, I did not tell her that you were resuming your normal schedule. She has no idea you come in the mornings to cook breakfast for me.
Good,
she muttered.
The element of surprise. Keep her on her toes.
He knew. He'd just recruited an excellent ally. He simply had to hope like fuck they could pull this off. Stellan took all his vitamins and drank his juice before Em got on his ass about doing either. He'd made himself a cup of coffee, refreshed Em's, taken his cup to his office to load his attaché, and was returning when he saw Simone wandering to the kitchen, her gaze locked on Em.
When she saw him out of the corner of her eye, she glanced at him only briefly. Before M, who from his position in the hall Stellan could not see, called,
"Good morning, Simone. Did you have a nice weekend?"
"Yes, M, hey," Simone replied, as Stellan moved out of the hall and into the kitchen. "Did you?"
"Excellent,"
M replied, headed toward Simone, and Stellan almost barked with laughter as he saw she had a little dish in one hand, a tall, thin glass of cranberry juice in the other. She placed the dish in front of Simone with a sharp crack.
"Vitamins,"
she declared firmly, and another crack, less sharp, but still a crack, sounded and the glass was down.
"Cranberry juice."
She immediately started poking the pills.
"That's Stellan's multi. I'll get one for women for you. But you'll take that today. Vitamin C, no explanation. B12, energy. Fish oil for your joints."
Simone tried to get in. M spoke over her, and Stellan had to swallow a chuckle with his sip of coffee.
"Green tea. There are two of those. You should take two more during the day, at least. Unless you drink some of the actual tea. Those are antioxidants. And L-lysine. In case you don't know, it's an enzyme your body naturally has to strengthen the immune system. But as you age, it depletes. You need to keep that strong. You take those and you'll have my breakfast burrito with fruit this morning. Vitamins are good, but always the best source of getting them is healthy, fresh, plant-based food. So be certain to have some fruit and vegetables for lunch, and I know that Stellan makes sure you have your veggies in the evening. If you do all this, it will make me happy."
Simone stared at M, moved her stare to Stellan, who gave her a slight smile and a one-armed shrug. But somewhere deeper, he was feeling a good deal more. Witnessing Simone processing a woman showing she gave a damn for the first time in her life, before she moved her gaze back to M.
"Listen, M, I..."
she tried. Another crack of the dish on the marble countertop.
"Take these, Simone. Now, querida.
I'll finish with breakfast." When Simone didn't move, M prompted,
"I can't make you breakfast if you don't take them. And if I don't make you breakfast, both of you will be late for work."
Simone slowly reached out to the dish. Anne didn't move until Simone had taken half the pills. She then went back to the stove. Stellan made his way to Simone, bent, and kissed her cheek as she finished with the vitamins. Her eyes turned to his, and there was a query in them. He did not have to ask after that query.
"Did I not tell you?"
he asked. She shook her head.
"I'm so sorry, my darling,"
he murmured.
"I texted Em to tell her to resume her regular schedule. When you first moved in, I asked her not to come in the mornings, while we got settled in together. Now that we are, she's back."
Her eyes said a thousand words that with Em there, her mouth could not say. He just wasn't listening.
"Coffee?"
he asked. "Yes," she pushed out. He moved to the coffee maker, trying not to smirk smugly.
"All the juice, Simone,"
M ordered. Simone started again, and Stellan didn't turn to watch as M cut her off. To that, he listened.
"If you don't like cranberry, I'll get you something you like. As you know, we have orange and grapefruit right now. But if you prefer apple or grape or pineapple, I'll get it at the grocery today. Or pomegranate. That's very good for you."
"Cranberry's fine, Em," Simone mumbled.
"I'll get some pomegranate anyway."
Stellan walked Simone's coffee to her, seeing her gulp down cranberry juice.
At the sight, he couldn't stop his smile.
She gave him big, annoyed eyes. He ignored that, too, and set about enjoying breakfast with two of his favorite girls in the world. 45 minutes later, having left Simone being coaxed into taking cooking lessons from M, Stellan was halfway to work when his phone rang. He took the call and spoke into the car.
Yes, darling?
Do you want to tell me what that was? Simone demanded.
What was?
This morning.
Breakfast, he explained easily.
Stellan? It was Stellan who interrupted her this time.
You don't have to learn to cook, honey. I like cooking for us. And speaking of that, we'll have dinner at home tonight, but tomorrow we'll go out. After dinner, we'll enjoy drinks at the club.
The club?
The honey? He clarified.
I'm not sure. I'll call Lee. Ask her and Ollie to meet us there. She made no response.
Have a good day, darling. I'll see you tonight.
Her whisper filled his car. It's not going to work. His steady voice vibrated through the car.
Oh, yes, it is.
I shouldn't have started this with you, she stated like she wasn't talking to him.
You're very wrong, Simone. Deciding to do that was the best decision you've made in your life. Now say, goodbye, Stellan. I'll see you tonight.
Kiss off, Stellan. I'm going to kick your ass tonight. He burst out laughing. He also made sure she heard it. She loved it when he laughed and failed every time trying to hide that she did. Then he hung up on her. When Stellan walked through the door to Susan's office, he did not offer her a greeting, pass by, and go to his office. He offered her a greeting, walked to the opposite side of her desk, and stopped. She studied him, did not return his good morning, and instead said, I don't like the look on your face. Stellan, again, didn't delay.
I know it's difficult to find a babysitter for Crosby, so how about we take that out of the equation and you, Harry, and Crosby join Simone and I for dinner at my house, perhaps Wednesday? Or if that doesn't work, Thursday?
Her brows headed toward her hairline. You want Crosby there?
Yes.
No offense, boss man. You picked her, I'm sure she's something else. But the woman is a fixer. And I've never met one. But even so, I'm not sure they'd be hip on dinner parties, including 18-month-olds. I can't say I remember every second of every episode, but I'm pretty sure Olivia Pope never has been near a baby. But I could guess, considering the shenanigans that go on, she wouldn't have a lot of time for one.
It'll be fine, Stellan assured.
Does she like kids? Susan asked.
I've no idea,
Stellan answered.
Though if I had to guess, I'd say they terrify her.
It was clear she caught herself before she rolled her eyes. But she didn't let this effort stop her from saying, Well then, take this woman's advice about your woman who I don't know, but we both share at least that in common. Do not have her meet members of your family in a way that's more uncomfortable than it's already going to be.
I have a variety of reasons for asking you to bring Crosby.
You always have a variety of reasons for anything you do, she muttered. First and foremost, you don't do it unless you can get everything you can out of it.
Very true. She needs to meet you, he went on. She needs to get to know you. She needs to get to know me better. You're Crosby's mother. I'm Crosby's godfather. Harry is a very good friend of mine. You're all an important part of my life. I see no point in drawing out the inevitable.
And, she pushed,
and I'm going to find it very interesting how she responds to a toddler, considering I have every intention of impregnating her eventually, and also repeatedly. So I would say that's important to know.
Her mouth actually dropped open.
You might wish to close that,
he advised, tipping his head toward her, eyes to her lips.
You never know what you'll catch. She snapped her mouth shut, but opened it immediately to state, "You decided, one date, 1 week with this woman, to have children with her?" Stella nodded. "For the most part,